You're listening to The Big Show with George Russick.
Like, whoa, dude.
Whoa.
That's so fat. Bro, the Rose Report stack. Bro, it's fire, bro. Fire.
And Matty Rose.
Fast. If only I could be blacked out in a hotel conference room right now with 100 of my closest CFL fans.
Love it.
On Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hour number two. Big Show, Russick and Rose. Sportsnet 960, The Fan, powered by MortgagesToGo.ca. Always the lowest interest rates in Canada since 2004. Visit MortgagesToGo.ca. Bottom of the hour, give you our text topic for your chance to win some Roughnecks tickets against Panther City Saturday down at the Dome. Frank Cron in studio, Big Show Flames analyst at 8 o'clock. But right now on the Atlas Pizza and Sportsbook guest hotline, from the What Chaos podcast, you see him on YouTube as well, Pete Blackburn. Hey, sir, how are you?
Good, how are you?
We had this conversation before you jumped on. Should the NHL adopt the NBA style of play-ins? Because I kind of like what the NBA does, and it's very interesting theater. And when you have a team like the Capitals getting in, everybody's like, oh, minus 37 goal differential. How do they dare get in? Wouldn't that be cool if they played, I don't know, the Penguins in a do-or-die game to get into the playoffs? I think the more I think about it, Pete, the more I'm on board with maybe the NHL should adopt this.
I'm torn on it. Like, this year, I feel like it could be great, just because I don't think there's really a single one of those wild card two teams that were in the race that deserve to be in the playoffs, but hey, if we want to pin them up against each other, like, I'm cool with that just for the sake of theater. An interesting point here is, and I just tweeted this out, if the NHL went with a 3-2-1 point system, which I've been begging them to do for years at this point, if they had done that, tonight's game between the Penguins and the Islanders would essentially be a play-in game, because both those teams would be tied for that second wild card spot heading into the final game for each of them tonight. So, I think that at 3-2-1 point system is much better for the NHL, just in terms of like actual real reflective parity. But also, like, the reason that they say they don't do it is to increase parity. But in actual practice this year, it would create more parity up until the final day of the season, which is pretty incredible.
Well, if the league is expanding to 36 teams eventually, which is just mind-blowing that many professional hockey teams would exist, doesn't it feel like that's something that they're going to have to do? Otherwise, 16 out of 36 make the playoffs? I just don't see that small of a number.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point, right? Like, if you're increasing the number of overall teams, you probably have to tweak the playoff format, and whether that includes a play-in tournament between a handful of teams, maybe that's the solution. I don't know. Like, I'm of the belief that there's already too many teams in the NHL. Like, 32 seems like a fine number, probably more than I would want. But 36 just seems crazy, and I know that's kind of the direction that we're heading in.
Pete, which happens first, the Coyotes back in Arizona or a Canadian team wins the Stanley Cup?
I would say a Canadian team wins the Stanley Cup, just based off of the uncertainty of the Coyotes' future in Arizona. I know what's been laid out, but I also have my questions and my concerns about whether anybody really wants Alex Morello to have an NHL team again in Arizona. If it's a different owner, maybe, but I'm not buying that Alex Morello is going to get another shot.
I know you're a big jersey and kind of team name guy. Where have you settled on for what the new Salt Lake City organization should be called? And have you put any thought towards jerseys yet?
I don't know what they should be called. I know people are making a bunch of Mormon jokes and all that, and I've participated in that on the internet, and that's jokey, but I just hope that when they do their color scheme and their logo and stuff, they do something that's a little bit different, because it's crazy that we have so many like unused color schemes in the NHL right now. It feels like there's so many blue teams, so many red teams, and everybody has a black jersey. Like, that's the stuff that kind of bothers me. Give somebody a brand new, unique look.
Your Boston Bruins are going to get the Toronto Maple Leafs in the first round. Do you like this matchup, and do you like how much of a distraction the chase for 70 has become for the Leafs?
I don't know if I would say that I love the matchup. I think that, you know, I don't know if I would love any matchup given the way the Bruins are playing right now. But, you know, given the history, Bruins own the Leafs. They beat them 4-0 in the season series. The defense and the goaltending not amazing. So like I went back and forth as to who I would prefer between Toronto and Tampa, and I think both teams have their flaws, and so do the Bruins. So I think just for the sake of, you know, entertainment and a neutral perspective, Bruins, Toronto, and then Florida, Tampa is probably the best outcome.
Also found out that Jack Edwards is going to be hanging him up. But what was your reaction to this news?
Yeah, it's not surprising. I know that the outside of Boston and outside of New England perspective on Jack Edwards is not super kind, but as somebody who has grown up with him and has, you know, spent time with him in person, like I love the guy. He's kind of like the voice of the Bruins for my childhood, but you could tell over the past couple of years that his performance has been slipping, and he came out in an interview earlier this year saying he knows that he's not doing as good a job as he used to, and he can't quite identify why. He's like sought medical opinions and can't quite figure out why he can't keep up with the game anymore and can't kind of control the way that he speaks. And so I feel really bad because I know how passionate he is about the job and how much he loves it. And just kind of imagining somebody like late in their life, not being able to understand why they're losing a grip on whatever it is that allows them to do the thing that they love the most. Like it's pretty heartbreaking. And I feel bad for him that he's not fully allowed to go out on his own terms.
Pete Blackburn, host of the What Chaos podcast. You see him on YouTube as well, joining us here on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Big Show, Russick and Rose, 960 the Fan. Pete, how's the Yzerman plan going in Detroit right now?
I think there's the good and the bad. Obviously it's kind of disappointing that they don't make it, given the way that the season started. Given, you know, they went out and got Patrick Kane to kind of reinforce this timeline that they've got, and they fell apart late in the year to let the Capitals back in the door and kind of couldn't get it together in time to fix this whole thing. But I mean, I think that you do have to look at the bigger picture and say they're probably in pretty good shape right now, and they got to reinforce, they got to take steps forward, but they've got some momentum behind them, and I wouldn't feel too negative about it. They're knocking on the door.
What about this Flyers kind of collapse? What do you think this means for John Tortorella?
I think it's going to force him to kind of look at his group and look at his own performance and the way that he's kind of led that team. It's tough, right? Because you hear so many things about John Tortorella and how his players love him, but then like his players will also say, well, you know, there was a time when I was there and I didn't love him, but, you know, with retrospect and in hindsight, he was a good coach. But that seems to be the book on John Tortorella. The guys in the room kind of get sick of him after a while, and the fan base turns on him. Maybe the players turn on him. I don't know where the Flyers are in that regard. Ultimately, I would think that most people were surprised they were even in the discussion this season, and that's probably due in large part to John Tortorella and him getting the most out of a underwhelming group in the first like three quarters of the season. But obviously expectations change based off of the way things go, and it's hard not to look at Philly's season and be disappointed. Just like all they had to do was play average hockey and they would have gotten into the playoffs and had a nice little surprising season. And they couldn't even do that. They completely ran out of gas. And then there was a bunch of noise, a lot of it created by John Tortorella in the final quarter of the season. So I don't necessarily think that his job's in jeopardy or anything, but he might have to kind of look himself in the mirror and say, all right, how do I change things moving forward? How do I get a full season out of this group?
Pete, can you sell my friend George here on this Islanders and Hurricanes series?
No, I can't wait.
Because he's been very dismissive about this matchup.
In the sense that the Hurricanes are going to, you know, walk the Islanders, because if that's the take, I'm on his side.
He just doesn't think it's going to be interesting whatsoever.
I mean, how interesting can a 4 or 5 game series be when one team is just so much better than the other? The Hurricanes are a really good team. The New York Islanders, no disrespect, are not a very good team. And I'm not buying in on that. I think it's going to be a pretty quick series.
Maybe Patrick Waugh does something crazy?
Maybe. That's for entertainment's sake, I hope so. I love having Patrick Waugh in the league again, just for the sake of the wild card and flying off the handle, being an angry monster kind of deal.
What kind of bloodbath is this Lightning Panther series going to be?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to that one. Anytime the Panthers play anybody, it's kind of a bloodbath, because they are the most annoying team in the NHL, just from kind of like a physicality and being a pest. Like, they have that energy behind them, and I think that Tampa does as well. Tampa's not the Tampa powerhouse that we've kind of come to know over the past several years, but I think that's still a team that can mix it up, and especially if Vasilevsky gives a good series. Like, I'm looking forward to that one. I wouldn't write that off, and I think you're right. It's going to be a bloodbath. It's going to be very physical. It's going to be playoff hockey, and I'm very excited about it.
Who's on upset watch for you? Could be either the West or could be the East.
I would say the Vancouver Canucks. I've been kind of banging that drum.
Talk to me, Pete.
The entire season, but just because I think that Western Conference is pretty strong top to bottom in terms of the playoff picture. And I just look at Vancouver and I say, you know, I look at their lack of playoff experience, and I don't know how they're going to respond once they get punched in the mouth. And when you look back in playoff history and in recent history, there always does seem to be that team that kind of cruises into the playoffs and doesn't have a ton of experience or isn't fully prepared for playoff hockey. They get hit in the mouth and they don't know how to respond. And when I look at the picture this year, I think Vancouver could be that team. And I think they're a really good team on paper. I think the results speak for themselves throughout the course of the year, but playoff hockey is a learning experience. It's a journey. And how often do you see a team impress and sort of quote unquote arrive on the scene and immediately get it done in their first year and make a deep run? It doesn't happen all that often.
Pete, you're talking to people in Calgary. They're not the biggest fans of the Canucks, but they also aren't the biggest fans of the team 3 hours north from here. If you're a Flames fan, who do you want to see the Oilers play in the first round? The Kings, who they've beaten the last 2 years, or the Golden Knights, who knocked them out last year?
I don't think anybody should want the Golden Knights at this point. I just think there's you know, a switch that can be flipped if you're Vegas. I know they haven't looked amazing, but they are the reigning Stanley Cup champions, and they're reinforced, and they're probably getting Mark Stone back. Maybe I would never want Vegas. And when you're talking about the Edmonton Oilers, they're not typically known as like an adult hockey team. And when I say that, I mean, like, they're not always super responsible. They're not, you know, the most sound team. I know that they've kind of reined it in this season under Chris Knobloch. But when I look at Vegas, like, that's an adult team. And we saw how methodical and surgical they were in the playoffs last year. You don't want them if you're Edmonton. Give me the team that you've beaten in the last 2 years. And that's L.A. I absolutely think you want L.A. and not Vegas.
Well, what's the minimum expectation for McDavid and the Oilers this season? What would be a good year for them now?
I think they got to at least get to the Western Conference Final. Anything less than that is going to be a disappointment. I really do think they need to – they really want to get to the Stanley Cup Final, obviously. But, like, that window could potentially be running out. And you want to get it done now – you want to get it done before there's a ton of pressure. Like, if Draisaitl doesn't re-sign or whatever, like, if that you're heading into next year with those questions, this is a year where they've looked like one of the best teams in the entire NHL since, you know, basically the turn of the new year. So they, I feel like there's a lot of pressure on Edmonton to get it done this year.
What are you looking at with this Colorado and this Winnipeg series? Because I think a lot of people think that Colorado is still the heavyweight that they've looked like for the last couple of seasons. But Winnipeg's playing really well going into the postseason. How are you leaning in this series?
Yeah, I mean, I think this one's kind of – I think Colorado's better on paper, but you look at – they've limped into the playoffs here, and their goaltending is a pretty big concern. I don't necessarily know if I trust in their depth, and that's kind of been a wart for that team at points this season. But, like, they're entering the playoffs in two different spectrums. Winnipeg's been hot, won seven in a row, Colorado limping in, and, you know, Colorado no longer has home ice. So, you know, I think that a lot of people who like, maybe are on the peripheral are going to say, okay, Colorado is a much better team on paper, but I think this is closer than a lot of people are going to project.
How dialed are you going to be into the final hockey game in Arizona for now, tonight?
Yeah, I mean, we don't really have much to watch for in the last couple of days of the season, so I'm just tuning in for the spectacle. I think it's going to be a scene. It's going to be weird, and I'm all for that in the last couple days of the regular season. And it's going to be weird. It's going to be kind of like, I don't know if I want to say it's going to be sad, but it's going to be sad in one way or another. Whether it's you know, you're sad for the Coyotes, you're just kind of like sad that this is a scene for the NHL in the final couple days, but I will for sure be tuned in.
How active, and because apparently they want to spend some money when they get to Salt Lake, how active is this franchise going to be when they go there?
I think they're going to be pretty active. I think that you look at Seattle, you look at Vegas, and kind of how they've, and I know that it's not the same situation because there's no expansion draft, but like, this is you know, an opportunity to hit the ground running in a new spot, and I think they want to take advantage of that. The good news is, you look at, this is a punch in the face or a punch in the nuts for Arizona fans, but like, you look at how those young players have played to finish out this season, and you're pretty encouraged. And if they go out and make some ads, make a few splashes in the offseason, there could be quite a bit of excitement in the early days in Utah. I threw this out on the show yesterday. What about the idea of Trevor Zegras potentially getting traded to Utah? Because you know how many draft picks Arizona has. You know that Anaheim's in kind of a weird spot where they got a logjam of young forwards, and there's been trade chatter around Trevor Zegras. I think that would be somebody that Utah looks at and says, you know, there's immense marketing potential around this guy, and maybe he can be had for a not super, super high price and kick the tires on that.
If there's a guy that fits the mold of Utah, it's Trevor Zegras.
I'm not sure I totally agree with that.
Should be fun, man. I wanted to ask you about the Aho interview as well. Can you just give us a little bit of a tease on how the chat went as he's gearing up for the playoffs?
He is gearing up for the playoffs. He was, I think, of all the guests that we've had, he may have been the most confused about our vibe. He did not seem like he was prepared for the gauntlet that he entered into coming on our show, but he was very polite. It was just, we tried to drag some goofiness out of him. I know that he has it because I've seen him interact with his guys in Carolina, and he's a fun guy. He has a lot of personality, but I think that he was maybe unprepared for how weird we were trying to get with him. And it was a fun, but you know, maybe not the most lively interview that we've ever done.
Pete Blackburn, host of the What Chaos podcast. You can also check him out on YouTube. Pete, always great stuff. Enjoy the playoffs, pal. Thanks for this.
Thank you very much. You guys as well.
There he is on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Yeah, it's going to get very emotional tonight in Arizona. I think a lot of us are going to shed a lot of tears for the Coyotes. Because if there's one thing that we've wanted to hear about for the last decade is arena issues and ownership issues in Arizona.
Yeah.
I don't know which I like more, actually. Do I want to hear about the Coyotes or do I want to hear about NHL CBA talk?
2 years away from that.
Sick.
Are they going to die on that hill?
Thank you, Patrick.
Die on the hill. Die on the hill. 05, die on the hill. Mm-hmm. Die on the hill.
13.
Die on the hill. I don't know which one I like more. CBA talk, Coyotes, Jordan versus LeBron. All of these things are just my favorite topics.
All of my favorites. You've just checked them all.
Like, I don't know how many true blue Coyote fans there from, you know, the fall of 96 are still around or that will be there tonight. Those are the ones I probably feel the most for, is the people that, you know, they loved something, and despite the crappy ownership and despite all the crap that the Coyotes have put themselves through themselves, nobody has done this but themselves. Nobody's done this to them. Those are the only people I'm feeling sorry
for. Do you think
people
in Winnipeg quietly have a bit of smirk on their face?
Oh, my God. I hope they're all, like, good smile. I just hope they get their old stuff back. I hope that old Jet stuff goes back to Winnipeg and doesn't fall out to Salt Lake. I don't know how that works, but...
No, it does. Well, like, it's the same franchise.
I know, but I'm just... Yeah, it's dumb. But, I mean, like, you know, but the Jets don't take anything out of the Thrashers except the one retired number. That's the only one that they... The only honor of the Thrashers that the Jets have, so...
Their leading scorer, Kovalchuk.
Well, their leading scorer is Kovalchuk. That's hilarious.
Yeah, not Dale Hawerchuk.
Not Dale Hawerchuk.
Ilya Kovalchuk.
But I mean, I'm wondering, just because if the Jets do want to rebrand and to go to that heritage look again,
they should.
Do they need the Coyotes' permission to take it back?
Yeah. So I don't know why they would stand in their way.
Exactly.
Like, what, the Salt Lake team's going to wear, like, throwback Jets unis, like the Canes do to throw to the face of Whalers fans?
The only thing the Coyotes
fans
did was,
I don't like that. Canes do that, too. I don't like that the Canes do that.
Or what was it within the NFL with the Houston
Oilers.
Texans and the Oilers and all that?
The Titans wearing Oilers jerseys and playing the Texans.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't do that.
Don't do
convoluted.
But again, there will be another team in Arizona. The NHL wants to make that happen.
That's the fifth largest media market in the country.
It will happen eventually. They'll get an expansion team, and Arizona will eventually be back in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when.
I don't think it can be behind Alex Marullo.
You know what I was thinking about last night, too, secretly? Because there was a lot of talk that, you know who's going to sign in Arizona? He's going to go back home and play for his Coyotes, Austin Matthews. Imagine if he did, and all of a sudden he's like, oh, God, I got to go to Salt Lake now. That was never going to happen, but that was always the talk, that maybe he goes home and, you know, recess. And who knows? If Austin Matthews would have signed in Arizona, maybe this doesn't even happen.
Maybe if the Coyotes had been properly ran and, you know, would have been, like, paying their rent and stuff like that.
Not skipping out on hotel bills last year and a half.
Yeah, like, maybe if that organization had been actually run properly, then he would have been there the same way that the Phoenix Suns have been able to attract top talent. It's a good market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but you have to find ways to reach the market. You can't just throw a team in there and then try and take everything from the people.
Yeah,
and then expect them to, like, you can't just bamboozle people. You have to. People are smarter than that. You have to give them a product that they actually like, that they want to watch, they want to give money to, they actually want to support. And when were the Coyotes that? Never.
They had a good following initially when they played in the America West Airlines Arena.
Yep.
They were a consistent playoff team for, I believe, their first
four years. Shane Doan was
Kachuk was still there.
They had
Jeremy
Roenick was there.
Yeah. Their first 4 years, they were like a 4 or 5 seed, I believe, their first year in Phoenix. But then it was just they move out to Glendale, a free rink. But they end up, well, it's not really a free rink, but they end up paying rent there. Glendale boots them out, and nobody kept traveling. Nobody wanted to travel because everybody lives in Phoenix proper. Glendale was built out suburb with a mall, now a casino. Like, it's stupid. Nobody wants to travel there at rush hour to get out there to watch a hockey game.
But they go see the Cardinals out of the Big Toaster.
Football's different, though.
It's like, once a week.
Exactly. It's a once-a-week thing. It's an attractive destination for people to travel in from elsewhere. I know there's tons of opposing teams that go watch Cardinal games. It's a great market. It's a great place to be, but they need the proper owner, and they need to figure out the building, and Scottsdale doesn't want them. They have that water issue. I think the Suns and Coyotes need to get together on a building. The Suns want a new building. I know that for sure.
Eventually, they'll be back.
Yes.
Eventually. All right, straight ahead. Did we see something for the last time last night in Vancouver? And also, we'll unleash the text topic for your chance to win some Roughnecks tickets for the game Saturday night. And Brent Cron in studio at the top of the hour. Big Show, Russick and Rose, 960 The Fan. It's the Big Show, Russick and Rose, Sportsnet 960 The Fan, powered by mortgagestogo.ca. Always the lowest interest rates in Canada since 2004. Visit mortgagestogo.ca. Why are you whipping your life?
I just like, it's too much.
Like, you have all this stuff you
written
down.
An hour and a half is so much show. I'm exhausted.
Is it? But like, Kron's here. So is that even an hour and a half? Like,
yeah, Kron's coming in at 8 o'clock. I'm still fighting it a little bit.
Wake ups just.
Yeah, I'm not. Ugh. I'm still. Is. Yeah,
but I'm plowing through here.
George, you get your steak dinner, I guess, now.
Yeah, for sure I do.
Yeah, like, no more denying that. You get
And I'm going to get, like, steak on top of steak.
Double steak.
Courtesy of Eric Francis.
Getting a double steak.
Who, by the way, should be in studio Friday. We got to talk about that.
Yes.
The roast of me on Friday.
Get some turf and turf.
That should be. I've already done some writing for this.
I have one joke
I hope
written.
So.
It's going to be so cringy, too, because none of us are comedians.
And it will be, but, like...
I've made a
you
nice little project
it?
For this.
I'll host yeah. it.
What's that?
I've made a nice little project for Friday.
Okay.
If GVP's making it, then.
Everyone's taking this quite seriously, except for Pat, who has one.
Okay.
I have one joke.
I have things written for everybody already. You, GVP, Maddie, Francis, Kron, Julian. I have stuff written for everybody. Because I get to do that at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That's how things work.
Yes.
So we'll do that Friday morning at 8 o'clock.
But Patty should host it because you can't host your own roast.
Oh, do you want to host
it? Yeah, I'll host your roast.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Give me the host. You can, all of our esteemed guests.
Yeah. There's going to be a lot of men in here on Friday.
We need some food.
There's always is. Just
get some wings.
Constantly always is.
Should get some wings.
There's always dudes in here. Strictly dudes.
Yeah, it's a sausage party all the time in here.
Especially since Taylor's gone.
Yeah,
it's rough.
She's still here, but like working only weekends.
Mm. Last night, Flames lost 4-1 to the Canucks. Jacob Markstrom got the start. Was that it? Was that the last time? Because I kind of feel like it was. And I felt like it went out with a whimper. A 4-1 loss in Vancouver. I think there's one guy who only starts against the Sharks, and that's Dustin Wolf.
Mm.
And maybe it would be nice for Markstrom to potentially play tomorrow, but... To me, this is about, I don't know if he wants to be here next season for any of this, because he's getting a good look at the ghost of Christmas future, mm-hmm. what this team is going to look like next season with how depleted this blue line is. I think last night was probably his last game as a Calgary Flame.
Could be. The big question for me with that is there ever going to be somebody who pays the price that a team that the Flames are going to be looking for? Because I think that they value Jacob Markstrom a lot. I think that no matter how the team is playing, that they're going to put some value on Jacob Markstrom, because this also does not seem like a team that is going to lose on purpose. If they put together a team and it doesn't end up performing the way that I expect, I think that there's a certain amount of you take the good with the bad when that happens, but I don't think that it's in the DNA of this organization to just bail on winning. And Jacob Markstrom is the type of guy that if you get rid of him, then you're bailing on winning. So I don't think they're just going to give him away to get rid of him.
Right.
And the question is somebody going to step up and pay the price for Jacob Markstrom, given what else ends up becoming available and who ends up needing goalies and all of that type of stuff in the offseason? Could I see a situation where he's dealt? Yeah, without a doubt. But I don't think it is a 100% sure bet type of thing.
I don't think there's any question that they should be trading him in the offseason, because I get what you're saying, and it's not in the DNA of this organization, but Jacob Markstrom gives you a chance to win a lot more games than maybe you should be winning next season. Because to me, this organization should be heading into full tear down, get some good young players, get some really high draft picks. Let's have a nice, young, exciting team moving into a new arena. That's where I would want the direction of the organization to be pointed. And I know there's a lot of cynicism. I know because of this organization has never really done that in years and years and years. But Jacob Markstrom's the key for you winning a lot more games than maybe you should be winning next season. And when I heard on the post-game show the word playoffs being thrown around, I'm like, this is the time where... Jacob Markstrom, God bless him. Why would he even want to be here next year? He did waive, apparently, of everything we've heard. He was willing to leave. Why would he want to stay here next year and play in front of a team that's going to miss the playoffs? I don't understand. Like, it's time for him to move on. They get a nice little haul for him. Be it, again, this is a summer deal to me. This is around the draft. Get a nice little haul. Maybe bring in a veteran guy, I don't know, just to help out Dustin Wolf. Or I don't know what you're doing with Dan Vladar, because apparently the surgery went really well. Do you really want to throw Vladar and Wolf? Do you want that as your tandem? Because that
well,
maybe
if depends on what you want. And yeah. What you're saying is, yes, that's exactly what you want.
Yeah.
Why would you bring in a veteran?
Maybe Vladar is on the way out too.
I think there will be probably a goal. I don't say probably, but there's a good chance in a Markstrom trade, there's probably another goalie coming back the other way just for money.
Maybe.
Purposes, maybe.
Maybe.
That would be probably the one goalie that you could see. Right. Like, if in New Jersey theory, like, it was a... Or no, did they move Vanecek to San Jose?
Yeah, they
moved
Vanecek. Completely changed everything.
Yeah, they changed everything. So, but New Jersey's got, like, 8 goalies still under contract.
Mm. And who knows if it's New Jersey? Who knows if it's another team?
L.A. will probably want a goaltending, because I think L.A. is feeling a lot better about themselves if they don't have to rely on Talbot and Riddick in a postseason run here.
But we also saw that Nick Kiprios told us he didn't want to wave to L.A. So there's that.
But again, nobody was
and maybe he
to
wants to go
outside
to the...
of Kipper's been able to come.
Right.
Like,
but
come
also, but Kipper's connected. Yeah. But also, maybe he wants to go to the Eastern Conference, which is he doesn't want to travel as much, which you can't blame him
know,
at this point of his NHL career because he's played in the East.
He's got the no move, but there was talk on 32 Thoughts now that Arizona is moving up to Salt Lake. Salt Lake is willing to start wanting to start contending here, using their prospect pools, using those picks to be a contender sooner rather than later. Again, he's got the no move. I don't know if he's going to want to move to Salt
Ingram's
Lake City.
Had a good season for them. I don't know if you want a good young goaltending.
Does like he's got the full no move, so we could just kibosh a whole bunch of stuff. But
he can.
I don't know. Well, I'm fascinated to hear his end of the season availability, maybe above anybody else's, because maybe we will. I don't know. We're not going to get answers on how far this went down the road with New Jersey, because I know you said that it sounds like he's waived his no trade, and that was a report that we got from Frank. But, you know, there's been some pushback on that as well, much like what Kipper said about Markstrom going to L.A. A lot of it does feel like it's kind of the teams that were on the other side of it kind of letting some stuff out, more so than the Flames, who have been much more pushing back on where they
were.
The
Flames have been good credit then. They've been kind of Fort Knoxy with kind of stuff. It's been other teams.
But Markstrom also criticized the organization, too. Yeah. Let's not forget that, about how it was handled.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that does not mean that we...
No.
But that's just the right of a player. Hey, if you have a no move and we don't see a lot of light at the end of this tunnel, like, of course, I think it's smart of a GM to go and ask, hey, but again, we don't know how far that thing got down the line.
The big thing here is, much like we said last season, which route are you going to take? Which path? Because there was two that was laid out in front of you. And they took the one that was trade everybody away. Now, you're still left with a roster that I don't think can be worse than the Sharks. I don't think it can be worse than what the Penguins are going to be in a little bit. I don't think it's going to be necessarily worse than what some of these other teams can put forward around them with, you know, Weegar, Anderson, Huberto, Kadri, these type of guys. But then again, I also don't think that bottoming out and winning you a superstar is the bona fide way to get to a Stanley Cup. How many Stanley Cups does McDavid have? And how many does Matthews have? I would take it one step further. How many wins in the conference finals do either of them have? And I would also point out that the guy who rides shotgun for both those players in Mitch Marner and Leon Draisaitl, I bet you would take both those guys before you took any one of these Flames. So this gets back to my general point that if you want to tank and you want to tear it down, that is lovely and fine, but you have to also have a plan to eventually get out of it.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing here. What is the plan that Craig Conroy is going to sell to not only Jacob Markstrom, but to Kadri, but to Weegar, but to Anderson, but to Huberto, but to Backlund, all of these types of guys, Coleman, all these veterans who signed on to come on and have a chance to win, and now are realizing this is definitely not what I signed up for.
And all those names you just mentioned about all the guys who are still probably going to be here next season, that's still not going to be good enough to get into the playoffs more than likely. Especially
with
how
it's also not, I don't think, you know,
sure.
57 points.
Right, but the whole tanking thing, yeah, you can give me those examples, but I can also give an example of Crosby and Malkin and
Ovechkin.
And Ovechkin and McKinnon and Kane and Taves. They were all super top five picks.
Makar.
That all hit the jackpot for all of those teams, and they won Stanley Cups. The Blackhawks were terrible for a decade, and finally
they made the
built
playoffs
a dynasty.
Once.
Right, built a dynasty, drafted those guys, won multiple Stanley Cups. It does happen. And then you look at teams like the Sabres, who are in a perpetual rebuild. They just fired their coach yesterday, can't get anything done. I get it. But if you're the Calgary Flames, like, there's no way they should be going out there this offseason and trying to get veteran help to help this team squeeze into the playoffs. I just don't think that's the right approach here. I think this next season's a year where I want to see a ton of ice time for guys like Zary, guys like
Coronado.
Guys like Pospisil, like I want to see a ton of ice time for all the young guys I have on this team. Who knows what's Hanzik? What is he going to be on the team? Is he going to make it the team out of camp? I don't know what he's going to look like. They got a lot of young blue liners here they want to take a look at too. Like this is next season should be all about playing the young guys in prominent roles on this team to see what they have in those young guys while also trying to eventually not completely bottom out because to Matt's point, they're not bad enough to completely bottom out, but at least be a team that you'll be picking in the top 6 to 8 of the NHL draft because that's essentially what we're looking at. And I think keeping Jacob Markstrom prevents you from doing that because if they're thinking playoffs next year, like I don't know what to tell you because they're not good enough to make the playoffs next year just based on this blue line. If they would have kept the team intact, they probably would have eked out a playoff spot this year. Especially with how great Hanifin and Tanev were playing as their number one pair. They're probably in a playoff spot. But they had to trade those guys. And they're not the blue line's just not good enough to compete. Like, look at some of the guys they're throwing out there this year. It's tough. It's tough to watch. And I don't want them to go out there and get a couple veteran blue liners to help out.
They're going to get at least one.
Okay, that's fine. Get one guy to kind of level things off in the back end, but I want to see younger guys get an opportunity. That's what they should be doing here. And God bless Jacob Markstrom. He should want to win a Stanley Cup at this point of his career. The guy's 34 now. Mm-hmm. He should want to go win a cup. And especially coming off a dazzling year that he has, a big bounce back year, teams should want to say, hey, Jacob Markstrom's a guy that can get us over the hump. And we keep going back to the Devils because that was their number one Achilles heel this season, a team with that much firepower missing the playoffs because he couldn't get a damn save. And Jacob Markstrom can give them some saves. And again, you shouldn't think playoffs if you're the Flames. You absolutely should not be thinking playoffs. You'd be thinking of maximizing, and I don't know what this offseason is going to bring. Kadri's had a great year. Maybe teams call for Kadri. I don't know. He's had a terrific season. He's been the Flames' best forward this year. Maybe teams come call and go, that guy's pretty reasonable at $7 million. We're not going to like the back end of that deal, but this guy can help us in the next 2 years because he's had a big-time bounce-back year. I don't know what that's going to look like.
Well, the market for the centers this year is not going to be good, and if you're going to go and sign a free agent in the summer, what are you telling yourself? The back end of the contract's probably not going to get that good.
Yeah.
Why don't you just go out and get a guy who you know is good? Look at what he just did on a team that you would assume is worse than yours if you're acquiring a Nazem Kadri.
And he's a guy who can, if he doesn't get suspended in the playoffs, can help you own the playoffs.
Which he hasn't for a while. But
right.
Like, the other thing there is, does he want out? Does Markstrom, if you want to talk about Markstrom wanting to go and win the cup, I think the same thing could be asked about Kadri. I think the same thing could be asked about Weegar. I think it could be asked about Backlund. I think it could be asked about Hubert. Like, it's all the same.
Sure.
It's all the exact same, but it depends on what the value is. Markstrom, highest value, to me, at least. GMs,
it is.
Probably not, because they don't see goalies with any value, and I think it's the most ridiculous thing in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, you need this one guy, this one position, that if you don't have it, your team is probably hooped, and no one wants to pay them, and no one wants to trade for them.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
It's the most
counterintuitive thing in the league.
It absolutely is.
Everyone talks about, you know what's the hardest thing to score goals? No, it's harder to stop the damn puck.
Right, but to me, and to your point...
Like Merrick says, they should just rename the game goalie.
Yeah, but next season, like...
look at Jack Adams winners and how good their goalies are.
Yep. Of course. When you look
a good coach, you'll find a good goalie.
When you look at the Flames next year, Markstrom is the number one reason why they'd win the amount of games. And he's been terrific for the team this year.
Like, you can take, since the Lindholm trade, so that was January 31st, the team is 14-17. That's their record. They're a 500, essentially a 500 team,
yeah,
as structured as it is. Which, you know,
I'd like to see their record since the Tanifin trade.
A lot worse.
Yeah. Like, what's their record since trading? Because I think that's a lot more. Because Lindholm hasn't been lighting the world on fire either.
Speaking of lighting fire,
he's lighting a lot of money on fire with his play this year on how he's probably cost himself.
He's not getting an opportunity in Vancouver to be any better.
Third line right now.
If I'm him, you can be upset with the Flames and all that jazz. I'd be more angry with the Canucks and how they're playing him because he's like, I'm a top six guy and they're playing me like a top nine guy and I'm going to get paid like that.
Best thing for Lindholm to do is have a hell of a playoff because playoff success can also get you a nice contract.
Yep. He might end up with a Max Domi or Tyler Bertuzzi deal.
Totally. Like that's how it's fallen. It's insane.
And talking about that major bullet dodged, what were they talking about? The Flames
$8 million,
and Lindholm?
Maybe?
Remember, he turned down a big contract with the Flames. If he could turn back time, he'd be like, I should have probably signed that thing.
Get that share going.
Because who's giving him 70 sheets now? Nobody. Nobody. Well, unless the Bruins want to throw
money. Good luck.
Good luck with that contract. All right. Mr. Brent Cron is in studio. We'll talk to him coming up. We also have some tickets to give away. Roughnecks game on Saturday against Panther City, which is apparently in Fort Worth, Texas.
Yes.
Panther City.
At the Dickies Arena.
Oh, right. Really? Yeah. Okay. we have tickets to that game. We're going to ask you on the text line, 960-960, name and location. Maybe mix in some calls. I don't know if you want to call in at 830, because Brent Cron loves taking your phone calls and talking to the people. Why are you shaking your head? You do like the phone calls. I'll miss the Coyotes in the desert like I'll miss blank. I'll miss the Coyotes in the desert like I'll miss blank. 960-960, name and location. The Chronalist is in studio. We'll talk to him next. It's The Big Show, Russick and Rose. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.